And our next case this morning is Harbaugh versus the Chicago Board of Education, case 1132-77.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, Melissa Pryor on behalf of Appellant Candace Harbaugh. The issue in this appeal is whether Ms. Harbaugh, a Chicago public school teacher, attained tenure under state statute. In her first year of full-time teaching, the board labeled Ms. Harbaugh a full-time basis substitute, or an FTB, a label that the board contends meant that Ms. Harbaugh was not on the tenure track for that first year. But there's no dispute that during this first year, Ms. Harbaugh was the same as a probationary teacher on the tenure track. She worked the same hours, received the same salary and benefits, and had the same responsibilities. She was the music teacher at Blaine Elementary School that first year.
Are her benefits the very same that somebody who gets one of these EAT appointments, are they absolutely the same in terms of health insurance, accumulating toward retirement?
Yes, Your Honor. That's my understanding, that her benefits are exactly the same. She's on the same salary
sick
scale.
Same sick days, same vacation days, et cetera.
That's my understanding, yes. There was no difference between she and someone who the board considered probationary.
But there is a significant difference in the manner in which true probationary full-time teachers are hired and evaluated and terminated, as opposed to the category that she occupied, which was a full-time basis substitute.
We don't think there is a significant difference. She was hired by a principal to work full-time at a school.
But the process for hiring is different, as I understand it. There's more oversight, for lack of a better term, and more attention paid to teachers who are hired on the tenure track because they're hired on that track and will become full-time tenured teachers after 4 years, or in some cases a lesser amount of time, depending upon what time period we're talking about under the statute. And then the process for evaluating those teachers is very different, and the process for terminating them is different, as I understand the statutory scheme.
Well, those are
the appointing authority may be the same. The principal may do the appointing, but the process for hiring a tenure-track teacher is different than the process for hiring and evaluating and terminating an FTB.
We don't think the statutory scheme provides that difference. That's something that the board created with the collective bargaining agreement, differences.
I want to direct your attention specific to a statute then, 34-8.1 at AD2 of your brief. It makes reference to the principal submitting recommendations to the general superintendent concerning the appointment, dismissal, and so forth. If the principal is the hiring authority or appointing authority, whatever the proper term is, why is the principal making recommendations? And then further in that statute, just below that, it says that the positions are to be filled by appointment made by the principal in accordance with procedures established by the board.
Right. The reason for that is in that later in that statute, it says that the board does the actual hiring and discharging.
So the board is the appointing authority, not the principal.
No, the principal makes the appointments. The board is the entity that has the power to actually pay and hire and fire the teachers.
So it does a PAT become get in that track when the principal employs that person, or is it when the board employs that person?
We believe that when a principal selects a teacher, whether it be an FTB or a PEAT, selects a teacher for a position, a full-time position, then the board then hires that teacher.
The board action is ministerial under your theory?
In this sense,
Is it ministerial, or do they have a right to say, no, we're not going to hire?
No, the statute doesn't give the board the authority to appoint. The statute gives the principal the power to appoint. So the principal,
subject to what the board does.
I'm sorry?
Subject to the board's approval.
Subject to the board actually hiring the teacher. Yes.
Who's hiring then?
The principal selects the teacher and requested
and the board
hires
hire them. The board cannot hire, too, can it?
The board could not hire, yes.
Well, that means the board's decision is the important one, not the principal's.
No, the principal still then has to appoint the teacher. The principal still selects that teacher. It's up to, if the board doesn't hire that teacher.
Let me put it this down. If the president sends my name over to the Senate for approval for appointment to this court, and the Senate says no, that's the end of that, isn't it? Although the standard Constitution says the president does the appointment, the appointment is ineffective unless the Senate approves. What I'm suggesting is if the principal selects a teacher, the board doesn't approve, that's the end of that.
Correct.
So the hiring party is, in effect, the board, not the principal.
But then if the board doesn't approve, the principal then has to go and select another teacher to appoint.
It.
And in this case, Ms. Harbaugh was selected. She was hired. She was hired. She worked full-time at Blaine Elementary School. So this wasn't the case of the board rejecting the principal's selection of her. If the board had rejected its selection of her, she wouldn't have been at Blaine that first full year.
When the her FTB appointment or hiring, whatever it was converted to a PAT, her letter announcing that didn't come from the principal, did it?
The letter, I think it came from the superintendent.
Superintendent's office.
I think so.
That would suggest that it is the superintendent or someone more closely aligned with the board than the principal that actually does the appointing or whatever the proper term is.
Well, that can be just a delegation of responsibilities in terms of where that notice comes from.
But the board can create its procedures for the hiring process, can't it? Does the statute allow it to do that?
The statute lets the board create procedures for the hiring process. It doesn't allow the board to add conditions to the tenure track. I see that I'm entering rebuttal time, so if you have no further questions, I'd like to reserve the rest.
That's fine.
Thank you.
Ms. Hogan.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the court, counsel. My name is Linda Hogan, and I represent the appellees. That all teachers do not have the same rights under Illinois law is a concept that has been supported by Illinois courts since at least 1963, when the Thomas Court held that temporary employees could not acquire tenure.
Do these FTBs have the exact same benefits as the PATs?
I think the court pointed out one of the biggest differences in the benefits accorded the FTBs versus the tenured and probationary teachers, and that is that FTBs don't have the protections under board policies and under the collective bargaining agreement when being dismissed. Section, I believe it's 20.
Right, who hires the FTBs?
Every employee is hired by the Board of Education.
So what authority does the board have to hire the FTBs in some different way that doesn't give them tenure? Or doesn't put them in the tenure track different than the PATs?
Well, Section 3418, there's a penumbra clause at the end of that that gives the board great discretion in determining how it should run its teaching force. Section 3484, I would argue, also provides that support. The legislature has provided that the Board of Education should have vast power in determining how to run its schools.
So it's under some sort of residual clause and every other power it needs to do whatever it does.
Correct, and it is not excluded in the Tenure Act. As I was saying, this concept that the board does have the power and the flexibility to designate its teachers and to classify its teaching force was reiterated in 1999 by the Chicago Reform Board of Trustees versus the IELRB, when that court stated, as a matter of fact, that full-time basis substitute teachers, or FTBs, were temporary employees who also could not acquire tenure. And until Ms. Harbaugh, no one has challenged an FTB's inability to attain tenure. The board supervises over 600 schools and over 400,000 students. Providing education, quality education to students is the board's mission, not, unfortunately, providing permanent employment to all teachers. And as I said, through sections 3418 and 3484, the legislature granted the board the ability to classify its teaching force. And FTBs, when they existed, helped the board accomplish its mission through flexibility, through stability, and one point that I forgot to mention in my brief is through allowing for racial balance in the teaching force. That's in section 23.5 of the collective bargaining agreement, which is Exhibit B to the board's summary judgment motion below. I want to make two additional points, and those are both about the language of section 3484, which I think is the most important part of this argument. The word appointment cannot be minimized or read out of the statute. Appointment does not mean mere hiring. Ms. Harbaugh's burden was to prove at the trial court level that she fell within the ambit of section 3484. She did not do that. All the record reflects is that on July 1st, 2004, a year too late for Ms. Harbaugh, she was appointed. Ms. Harbaugh at that time did not say a word about that.
Of course, that's your latches argument, isn't it?
That does go to my latches argument, but it also...
That wasn't reached.
No, that wasn't. That also reflects and shows that when a teacher is appointed, there is a definite, there's a letter issued, or that's how it works. A letter is issued that says...
FTBs get some sort of letter, some sort of notice, or does the principal just call them and say, come on down to the...
The principal writes a letter, I believe, Exhibit, I think, J, to the board's summary judgment motion, showed how that worked in 2002 when Ms. Harbaugh was assigned, not appointed, assigned by the principal of Ravenswood to her to fill a vacancy in Ravenswood. And that's how that would work. The term is assignment for FTBs. The term is not appointment. Second point I want to make about the language of Section 3484 is that the district court correctly and wisely noted that the term probationary employee is key to this statute. The statute does not, in fact, apply to all teachers, as appellant contended. It only applies to those teachers who are probationary employees, which assumes that they have been appointed. To read out the word appointment in the statute would make the word superfluous, and that is against statutory construction. At this point, Your Honors, I would just ask the Court to affirm the judgment of the District Court or, in the alternative, to remand the case for consideration of the Board's latches defense. Thank you.
Ms. Pryor, you have 3 minutes in rebuttal.
Your Honors, we'd just like to reiterate the point that we think we've made in the brief, and that is that regardless of the hiring or the letters or that sort of thing that are involved, the language of the statute, 3484, only requires that a teacher provide four years of full-time satisfactory service to attain tenure.
The problem is that reads that particular language in a vacuum as opposed to in the context of the particular statute in question and the larger statutory scheme, which gives every Board of Education a lot of discretionary authority to set its tenure track terms.
It gives
and to control who's on the tenure track. That's what this case is really about. Your position is asking us as federal judges to override the local Board of Education's control over who gets on its tenure track, and that's a pretty...
But the statute does not provide the board authority to decide who gets on the tenure track.
The other statutes in the state school code do.
Correct. It gives the board power, but you can't write into this section terms that don't exist simply because of the broad power that the school board has. This statute divides teachers into two classes, probationary and permanent. If you are a full-time probationary
teacher.
Your argument
then would apply to the day-to-day substitutes. If they worked every day, then they qualify too, right?
If they were full-time, yes, but that's not the case here. Ms. Harbaugh.
And Illinois law has not construed it that way, has it? Is there a case that has found that the substitute teachers do not get the benefit of the tenure?
No, but I don't believe that there's a case that clearly states that there's a teacher like Ms. Harbaugh, that a teacher who was full-time had all the benefits, was the only teacher not replacing another teacher. She wasn't replacing a teacher. The teacher she filled in for, the teacher she replaced resigned. So it wasn't even a temporary assignment that she had.
How about Teach for America
members? I'm not sure.
They're full-time.
If they are full-time, have all the benefits, have all the responsibilities, then there may be an argument that they also deserve tenure. But the statute provides is just 4 years of full-time satisfactory service. Are there any further questions?
No. Thank you.
Thank you.
Our thanks to both counsel. The case is taken under advisement.